Tonight we're continuing in our study on those passages from the Bible that make you go, hmm. Passages that make you go, hmm. We're going to look at Genesis 34, beginning at verse 1, and actually it's the entire chapter. So we'll start at verse 1. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the region. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the region, saw her, he seized her and lay with her by force. And his soul was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this girl to be my wife." First he rapes her, and now he wants to marry her. Now Jacob heard about that Shechem had defiled his daughter Dinah. But his sons were with his cattle in the field. So Jacob held his peace until they came. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him, just as the sons of Jacob came in from the field. When they heard of it, the men were indignant and very angry, because he had committed an outrage in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing ought not to be done. Yeah, I agree. Duh. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The heart of my son Shechem longs for your daughter." Something else longed for her first, but now his heart longs for your daughter. "Please give her to him in marriage." You've heard of shotgun weddings. Well, that's kind of what we're going to have, I suppose. Except this time, the groom wants it. "Make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. You shall live with us, and the land shall be open to you. Live and trade in it, and get property in it." Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor with you, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Put the marriage present and gift as high as you like, and I will give whatever you ask me. Only give me the girl to be my wife." He really liked her. He really wanted her. And his father was willing to go so far as to say, "Hey, y'all can come in and be part of us, and we'll be part of you, and you can have our daughters to marry, and we can have your daughters to marry, and we'll just swap daughters and have a really nice good time here, won't we?" Yeah, good plan. Good plan to make this right. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. They said to them, "We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we consent to you, that you will become as we are, and every male among you be circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters for ourselves, and we will live among you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and be gone. Give up a little flesh and we'll join you. Men?
No pain, no gain."
No pain, no gain. Exactly. We cannot live with you and be one of you unless you are as we are. Receive circumcision, and we'll trade daughters with you. Otherwise, we'll just take her and go.
That's an oxymoron. Receiving circumcision?
Receiving circumcision, yeah. An oxymoron. Okay. Yeah, it is. I'm going to go on. I mean, they gave Hamor the perfect out. He could have said no, and they would have taken Dinah and gone. That seems to be what it says, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They would have taken Dinah and gone. But no, that's not what they do. They don't take the out that they're given. Their words pleased Hamor. Maybe he didn't understand what was going to happen here. Their words pleased Hamor and Hamor's son Shechem. And the young man did not delay to do the thing, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. He tried her out, and now he wants to keep her. So much so, he's willing to give something very important. And it's painful, friends. Now, he was the most honored of all his family. So Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of the city, saying, "These people are friendly with us. Let them live in the land and trade in it, for the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters in marriage, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will they agree to live among us." Here's the bad news. "To become one people, that every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised." Verse 23. "Will not their livestock, their property, and all their animals be ours?" Not only do we have the settling of the problem and the trading of daughters, but we're also going to intermingle all our stuff. And their stuff, and there's a lot of it, remember? Jacob cheated on Laban and got all that stuff. Their stuff will be our stuff. "Will not all of their livestock, their property, and all their animals be ours? Only let us agree with them, and they will live among us." And all who went out of the city gate heeded Hamor and his son Shechem. And every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. So all the guys were circumcised. They didn't have anesthesia to speak of. And they didn't have the most delicate and precise of cutting instruments. So it was probably, in fact, definitely a rather painful procedure. Verse 25. "On the third day, when they were still in pain," 3 days later, they're still hurting from the surgeries, "two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and came against the city unawares and killed all the males. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. And the other sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city, because their sister had been defiled. They took their flocks and their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field, all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives, all that was in the houses they captured and made their prey." "Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'You have brought trouble on me by making me odious to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household.' But they said, 'Should our sister have been treated like a whore?'" The end. What in the world is going on? Dinah, out, gallivanting around, visiting the women of the region, gets spied by the son of the head of the region. He rapes her, likes the product, wants to buy her. They say, "Let's merge our families together. We'll trade daughters, and things will be okay." And the brothers of Dinah are understandably upset. Their sister's been raped. They say, okay, sure. But you got to be circumcised. You've got to become one of us. You've got to join this covenant that we are in. You must become circumcised like we are. Knowing that that's not the most pleasant procedure, particularly on adult males, and that it leaves them incapacitated. Well, Hamor and his son go and try to sell it to the people of their city. They even say, look, we'll not only be trading daughters with them and getting wives and, you know, increasing the gene pool, so to speak, but we'll even get their stuff. And they all agree, and all the men get circumcised, and there ain't nobody left to protect the city, which is the reason why Jacob's sons recommended this in the first place. And Jacob's sons come, Dinah's brothers kill Hamor, and Hamor's son, for Shechem's raping of Dinah, and the other sons come and plunder the city and take everything, including their wives and their little ones, their daughters and little children, and all of their livestock. And it was theirs. The moral of the story is, don't mess around with Jacob's daughters, I think, would be one of the morals of the story. Don't mess around with Jacob's sons either. What do you think? Jacob's obviously upset, but he only had himself to blame. I mean, he taught his sons everything they knew. Should have known better. What do you think? Why this story? Had you read this story before? You remember it from reading the Bible before? It's one of those stories that's kind of there. I mean, what comes before it is the story of Jacob meeting Esau. And that turned out okay. And what follows it is Jacob moving down to Bethel and some more childbirthing. And then the begats of Esau. Whew, what a long list. I was noticing there's some really wonderful names in here for any future children you may have. No, you... So, why is this story? I mean, it's like one of these stories that's sort of sandwiched in here between stories that we know. Why is this here? What does this tell us about God? There are several classic questions that's always a good thing to ask when you're dealing with the Bible. Considering the graphic nature of the story and the details of the story, the first question that you always ask any Bible story is, what does it tell you about God? Second question is, what does it tell you about human beings? And thirdly, what does this tell us about our relationship with each other and with God? So the first question is, what does this story, chapter 34 of Genesis, tell us about God? Any suggestions?
Not a clue.
What does this story tell us about God? Is God mentioned here?
He lets us do what we want to do, no matter how deceitful it is.
He lets us do what we want to do, no matter how deceitful it is. He lets us sin. Yeah, not always, but he frequently does let us get into our own messes. What else does this tell us about God? Basis for an eye for an eye, and yet look at what happened. I mean, the son of the king rapes Dinah, and it results in the murder of every man of the city and the taking of all of their property. Had they just killed Shechem, maybe. They took everything and killed all the men. This is an eye for a whole family, right? Or a whole family for an eye. This is overkill. Revenge? But revenge is not a good thing. And that's exactly, you named it. You put your finger right on it. That is precisely what Jacob's sons were doing. They were getting revenge for what Shechem had done to Dinah.
You have to start, okay, I'm mad, and we're going to go kill them all.
Exactly.
They got them incapacitated, so it was like premeditated murder.
It was absolutely premeditated. It's what it says right here in the Bible. Verse 13, the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully. They planned this from the get-go. When they heard the offer from Hamor, as to what they were going to do to solve the problem, they said, aha, here's how we can get them. When they circumcise themselves, they're going to be in pain. And we can sneak in there and kill them and get all their stuff. That's exactly what happens. They were deceitful. They planned this. It was premeditated. Story's not getting any better, is it? It starts with a horrible sin, Dinah getting raped, and it gets worse. Then her brothers kill the rapist's father, the rapist's people, and take all their stuff and their wives and their kids. What does this tell us about God? It's one of the same things that all of these stories which reveal the humanness of Jacob and his sons tell us about God. There's one basic theme here, that God will work through even a bunch of dirty rats like this. These guys are sinners, friends. They deceitfully planned to murder and take revenge. It wasn't a measured, meted out punishment. And yet God still would perpetuate His people through this bunch of guys. Look at this. Look who does the initial killing. On the third day, Simeon and Levi. Who is Levi? The family from which the priestly line would come. Whose job it is to make sacrifices to atone for the sins of the people.
He sacrificed
the whole people, at least the family, Hamor and Shechem, for the sin of Shechem. Wow. Huh. And yet God was still willing, even despite this,
to... goes around, comes around, because when they were trying to, when Hamor was trying to talk his people into doing this, he says, just think of what we're going to get. We're going to get all of their sheep and their oxen and all of their possessions.
Yeah.
They'll all be ours.
Oh, yeah. The people here of Hamor are not lily white, pure as the wind-driven snow either. These people have their own ulterior motives in mind. For just a little bit of blood and a little bit of pain, we get all this, plus their daughters, too. And them be pretty daughters. And they had their own ulterior motives. And they got what was coming to them, and they didn't know it was coming, but they got it. They submitted themselves from circumcision with a little bit of cutting, and then they got cut a whole lot more. They got cut to death. What does it tell us about God? That God will work through even a bunch of dirty rats who will do this. God will work through Abram, who disobeyed. When he obeyed and left Ur of the Chaldees, he took his tag-along nephew Lot with him. That was disobedient. But would not be patient enough to wait for God to produce Isaac, the child of promise. Instead, he went and had a child with his wife's handmaid. Not the way God said it was going to happen. We have Isaac. We have Jacob. We have Joseph, who is blessed by God, but I mean, he enjoyed getting back at his brothers for sending him into Egypt. This family is not exactly a poster child for the most moral people in the world. Yet God is willing to take this people and make them His people through whom the Savior of the world would eventually come. We heard last week about how Judah and his sons and then Tamar, and then how through Tamar, Judah would produce the line from which Jesus would eventually be born. You could even go and take a look at what David did. David was nobody's perfect guy. Just the story of David and Bathsheba is enough to point that one up. What about Solomon and his 700 wives and 300 concubines, or is it the other way around? Whatever it is. With his 1,000 sexual playthings, his harem, yes. These are not exactly the picture of morality. And yet God is still working, willing, even through their faults, to work through them. Whew. That is good news for you and me. I don't know about you, but I've not murdered anybody lately. or raped anyone lately. Or killed a whole city of men and taken their wives and their children and all of their property. And yet God was willing to work through them. I think this is good news that God might be willing to work through us.
Makes me wonder sometimes if we're being too good.
Being too good? No, I don't think so. We could be a whole lot better, but well, not entirely. There are some excellent examples. Joseph only got a little bit. I mean, he was a tattletale, and he liked to lord it over his brothers. He paid a price. It wasn't exactly an easy life for him in Egypt, especially when he was in prison. And it wasn't exactly an easy life. But then God blessed him, and then I think he did enjoy making his brothers worry for a while there. I think he got a kick out of that, but eventually he couldn't take it anymore. He was a morally upright man, after all. He wouldn't have sex with Potiphar's wife, even though she repeatedly tried to get him to do it. God will use even a sinner. And God will work even through our own mistakes. A good example of that was where Joseph recognizes that he was sent into Egypt, his brother's deceit, and his being sent into Egypt was then used by God to protect and preserve life. That's good news for us. That truly is. That means that God can work through us. If God will work through this bunch of guys, then maybe God will work through us. And if we can just depend upon His grace, trust in Jesus, and obey, do His will, God will work wonders. So that's the good news for you and me today, I think. And that's not much to pull out of chapter 34 as to why it's in the Bible, but that's one reason. You could also identify, we've already kind of done that, what this tells us about us. And what this tells us about how we're supposed to relate to each other. Well, don't go raping Dinah. Mm-hmm. And don't agree to trade your daughters with Jacob's sons. And don't agree to get circumcised, or you might get your head chopped off. Yeah, they'll circumcise your head. You'll get a headectomy. So, anyway. That's good news, though, that we who are sinners, we can look at this group and say, wow, they were horrible. Yeah, they were. We are horrible in our own ways, and yet God will work through us. And that is good news. Amen.